Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another beautiful day. This is the day, that the Lord hath made, We will rejoice, and be glad in it, For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, that the Lord hath made. Can you say, praise the Lord? May God give you and yours a wonderful day. Well, here we go again. Yes, we're in lockdown, so stay tuned as we just keep riding this wave in a very, very unusual world. Now, go with me to a very well-known passage in the scripture, and all of us at some time have leaned and sometimes leaned heavily on this verse. So go with me to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. Hopefully you got the email earlier in the week, you've done the reading, you've done the research, and you know that there's some questions that we can ask about this verse. But first, let's look at it. You, speaking of God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Well, see, this verse has been a rock for us to lean on. But before we dig into this verse, I would like to read it in the New Living Translation of the Bible. It goes like this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Very plain and simple. It's almost as if we really don't need any further explanation. This is an amazing verse, and we're going to talk about it. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful day you've allowed us to have. This is the day you've created. Let us take advantage of this day to praise you and worship you and just get some things done that you have ordained. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go back with me to verse number 3. You, that's speaking of God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. In other words, our good Father will keep or support or hold up or pick up all those whose eyes are completely and thoroughly fixed upon him. We're gazing upon him. We are completely transfixed with the Heavenly Father. He'll hold us up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But let's be honest. How many of us have that unobstructed view of our Heavenly Father? Well, all of a sudden things get a little shaky when we think about that. We see, this promise is like a lot of other promises in the Old Testament. If we will do something, then God will do something. In other words, if we just do our part, God will do his. My favorite verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, there's a list of things that we're supposed to do, and then God will do his part. That's just the way it is. But see, that's what I see in this verse. But to be honest with the Bible, let's see who this was written to and in the time frame that Isaiah is referring to. Well, firstly, obviously Isaiah is writing to an Old Testament Jew. But now the time frame. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. In that day, did you catch that? In that day. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, let's be careful that we don't do what a lot of people do. A lot of people take an Old Testament verse and spiritualize it and make it mean pretty much whatever they want to, but we're not going to do that. This was written about a day when the people in Judah were singing this wonderful, amazingly confident song. Well, when is that day? Well, go with me to Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll find out. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 11. Human pride will be brought down, and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. That day that Isaiah was writing about was the day when all human pride and arrogance and sin will be done away with. For further support for this, let's go with me to Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. And just follow with me. On this day, the Lord of hosts will make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich, full food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. It's going to be quite the feast. Verse 7, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Sounds a little like the psalm that we just sang. But this is an absolutely amazing time. And this is when we will see, if you're born again, you'll be there. This is when we will see evil and arrogance and the curse of sin wiped away. Please be there. And you can do that through Jesus. Now, Isaiah said something that kind of intrigues me. He says, on this day, a veil or covering that has been thrown across all nations and people will be removed. I'm going to do some research in that, but I don't quite understand that. I've got a hint, though. But I believe that will be the time. It could be just the curse of the fall. But that'll be the time to where the veil will be removed and we can see clearly everything that God intended without the restraint of our fall into sin. We will once again be recreated into the likeness of Jesus. Remember what the Bible said. We don't know what he shall be when he appears, but we know that we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. Folks, that's an amazing day. And if you're trusting Jesus, you'll be there. Make sure you're doing that. And it's at this time that we'll experience that perfect peace and ease. And it's going to be easy to focus on God. But what about until that time? Are we just destined to doom and gloom? Not hardly. I believe the exact opposite is true. Listen, I don't believe God showed Isaiah everything that he was going to do in the future. We know that Isaiah knew that a son was coming, and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And Isaiah was shown what it was going to look like when everything wrapped up. But I don't think Isaiah knew everything about the Jesus, the gentle shepherd, as well as our coming King. He didn't know that Jesus the Messiah would come and he would choose to indwell, live inside of his followers, those who believed in him by faith. So let's look at some things that Isaiah probably didn't know. First, Jesus our Savior said that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever would believe in him would live forever. He also said to love your enemies because God causes the sun and the rain, his sun and the rain, to fall on them as well. Isaiah was talking about the destruction of the enemies. Jesus is saying, love your enemies. Did you get it? Love your enemies. Then Jesus said, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, and if you will, you'll find what you're looking for. Folks, if we need something from Jesus, keep digging, keep asking, keep working for it. Find what you're looking for, and then apply what he shows you. And then he makes this brass comment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. So may I ask, what does a follower of Jesus have to worry about? Then he says, if my sheep hear my voice, they will know me and follow me, and no one will be able to take them out of my Father's hands. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Then Jesus says something that closely mirrors kind of that focus on God that Isaiah was talking about. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's that focus completely on God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So there's that focus on God. There's that blessings of God. And that is now, that is present tense. That is something we can do today. Are we doing that? And then finally, Jesus says something about peace. Listen to this. John 14:27, I am leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. What a wonderful gift. He continues, and the peace I give is a gift of the world cannot give you. You won't be able to find this in the world anywhere else. You'll only find this peace of mind and heart from Jesus. And then he says, so don't be troubled or afraid. Let me say it again. Don't be troubled or afraid. So everyone, for me, I'm glad I live in the New Testament and I have the promises of Jesus. Aren't you glad to be here too? All right, let me give you one more final challenge for today. We have the wonderful promise of Jesus. We have that promise of peace. But have we entered into that rest and peace? Ask yourself, have you? Have I? You see, it's nice to have a brand new car and put it in the garage and jump in it and start it up, make sure your garage door is open, but you can hear the motor roar and you can turn the radio on and you can enjoy the smell of the car, but if you turn it off and shut the door and you leave it in the garage, well, what good is it? It's the same with the promises of Jesus. It's nice to have those promises, but have we taken those promises and implied them to our lives and start living according to the promises of Jesus? Well, so what do I suggest? Go back with me to Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace who will trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, this promise is coming. God's word is true. It's in our future. But until then, you and I need to just grab hold of the promises of God, of Jesus, and infuse ourselves into his life and let him infuse himself into our lives. You see, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And remember, nothing is impossible with God. So in reality, there is really no need for a follower of Jesus to worry or fret. We don't have to chase after the latest whatever that stirs everyone up. You and I can rest in his peace. You see, down through the centuries, it's the actions and the attitudes of Christians that made the Christian message flourish. It's Christ in us revealed to the world. What kind of Jesus does the world see in you and me? Look, if we believe right and act right, I believe Jesus will come alive again in our world. And that's exactly what I want. How about you? So, let's rest in Jesus. Let's enjoy that peace and watch him come alive. Father, I thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. I thank you for the promises, the eternal, the everlasting promises of Jesus to his followers. Help us to take them, apply them, use them for his glory. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to play for you a song about Jesus. One of my favorite, you've heard it before. It's by Zach Williams and Dolly Parton. It's called, And There Was Jesus.